I'll clean my room. I won't fight with my sister, please. Come on, Mom. I promise, just this once.
I'm never going to look at Messi the same.
I told the guys, you said yes.
I'm never going to look at Messi the same. I don't want to have your voice in the background when Messi is playing soccer.
You never know. You never know. I may be in there for good, Slee. A quick tweet here before we move on to the Rams. They had Les Snead had a little bit of a press conference today. We'll get into it in just one second. This is from Darb, and it says, hey, Trav, speaking of the Lakers, do you think Elin is keeping tabs on the weekends that were his, but she's picked up in the last few weeks? First of all, that's not a Lakers question, Darb, in the OC. But look, Tiger purportedly is getting close to going home before too long. Mm. Hopefully he's healthy sooner than later. I'd love to see him play golf again, but hopefully his life is going to be okay. His physical health is going to be okay. And no, I don't think Elin is keeping track of the weekends he's missed with the children. He's been badly injured in an accident.
By the way, it's been I haven't heard much from Tiger. It's been very quiet.
Okay, so let's go there.
Have you heard
there.
Much? I don't know.
No, not a peep. Okay, that's what's so extraordinary, right? Mm-hmm. And part of it is that there's the HIPAA laws, right? You can't talk about somebody else's
that's
health.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's a crime. So you can't do that. So I kind of get that a little bit of his medical stuff is under wraps, but not a peep. Like, I mean, TMZ is pretty good at getting inside places, pretty good at getting access to some information, pretty good at getting the story behind the story. And there has been nothing mm-hmm. about that. It is odd by the fact that nothing has been said about it other than he's progressing.
He put out a tweet February 28th. I think that was the day everybody wore the red shirts, right? The red polos.
Uh-huh.
He put out something then, nothing since then. February 26th, he put out, at least his people put out when he was getting moved to Cedar Sinai. So nothing since then.
No, he apparently was texting with Bryson DeChambeau after he won the weekend last week in the Arnold Palmer event. But yeah, it's for as famous as he is and as many people as want to
sure,
know what's,
sure.
what he's up to that we don't know anything. I don't know, just interesting, I guess,
sure.
that it's been as quiet as it is. All right, so earlier in the week, Jalen Ramsey was on Huddle and Flow, a podcast Steve Wyche and Jim Trotter do, and he was talking about his teammate. We were talking a second ago, Slee, about having the best player. If you have LeBron James, you've got a good chance to win every game you go into. If you have Kevin Durant, you have a good chance to win any game that you go into. Football doesn't quite work like that because Aaron Donald is the best player in football. I want you to listen to what Jalen Ramsey has to say about number 99 and what he thinks he needs on his resume.
I've never seen anyone like him. I'll keep it honest. I've never seen anyone like him. In my opinion, he's the best player in the NFL. I think AD should start being in conversations for MVP. Like, I mean, it's insane that people really – like, I know after he won Defensive Player of the Year again and people – like certain people were in an uproar about him winning. I'm like, bro, are y'all serious? Like, he is doing these numbers from D tackle and he sometimes moves around. He's like, his impact on the game is crazy. Like, you look at most valuable player, and what it actually means is how valuable is this guy to this team? Take this guy off of this team, and then where does their value as a team go? And you put AD on any NFL team, and I guarantee AD line is the top five D line. Automatically, probably top three D-line automatically.
We saw it. We saw it in the Packer game in the playoffs, right? In the division round where Aaron Donald was hurt, where he wasn't himself, and that Ram defense went from the best defense in football to just okay. I mean, that's how big – and you're talking about a sport where 11 guys are on the field at the same time, 11, and the one guy that was hurt and the whole thing kind of started to break down at that point. That's how valuable that guy is.
Well, they obviously, for, you know, Jalen Ramsey, one of the best defensive players in the league as well, right? For him to say,
yeah, for sure.
For him to talk the way he does about AD, and it's almost as he's, I don't know if giddy's the right word, but he's just in
respect.
Awe of a player that can impact the game as much as Aaron Donald can. He says he should get MVP consideration. Just doesn't happen in the NFL, right?
No.
Obviously, they don't value defensive players the way they value offensive players, and specifically how they value quarterbacks, because over the last 20 years, only four players who are non-quarterbacks won MVP. All four of them are running backs. So
right.
it's not like they're giving this award out. It's not like this is something that they're constantly looking at defensive players and saying, oh, it's him or Aaron Rodgers. It's him or Patrick Mahomes. That's just not happening.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the exact year was. Remember the year that Peyton Manning sat out because his neck was all jacked up?
Yeah.
It was the year before they drafted Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
That season, I think the Colts won two games. They went like 2-14 or 3-13. So they were terrible. And really the only thing that had changed is Peyton Manning had left, or he was hurt. He was unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
That was the greatest case for MVP I've ever seen in my life. Mm. That just because with him, they're a Super Bowl team, and without him, they're garbage. That is the definition of the most valuable
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Perfect. Another mm-hmm. perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know, that everywhere LeBron leaves goes from, oh, they're the team to beat us. Wait, why are they in the lottery the next year? Why are they picking first?
every team he leaves, you start saying, okay, so what player is coming out next year? Because he's probably going to end up on the Cavs.
Yeah, exactly. And Aaron Donald, it wasn't quite that extreme because mm-hmm. the Rams were still competitive, but he missed one game because he was hurt. And it was the one game where their defense couldn't stop anybody. And what he said, too, in that I think is incredibly important. And this is why I agree with you. I don't think he's ever going to win an MVP just because it's a quarterback-exclusive award. But the dude is racking up double-digit sacks from a position where you're not supposed to get more than maybe a small handful. That he's a defensive tackle. He plays in the middle of the defensive line. He's not out on the end. He's not J.J. Watt. He's not Lawrence Taylor.
And he's double-teamed and he's triple-teamed.
At best. Right. Maybe there's a third guy in there, mm-hmm. and he's still putting up multiple double-digit sacks. What did he have, 22 a few years ago? Just something bananas like that. Mm-hmm. That's like – I'm trying to think of an analogy. It's almost like if a linebacker led the league in interceptions. That it just, I guess it could kind of sort of happen mm-hmm. where he's out there in coverage occasionally, but he's not supposed to pick off a pass and a half a game. That's mm-hmm. not how it works. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what Aaron Donald was doing. Mm-hmm. It was an extraordinary performance. And I'm telling you, now that offense is good enough to match what that defense is doing, forget about it. They're going to be really hard to beat.
Anthony on Twitter says, award is a joke, should just be called best quarterback.
Yeah.
Which is kind of... that's really what the history would show. They're pretty much just valuing quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, look, the quarterback's the most important position, but this is the rub, too. Aaron Donald isn't the best player at his position. Jalen Ramsey is the best player at his position in the league. Aaron Donald's the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. That's different. Mm-hmm. That's not just being the best defensive tackle. He's the best player. That's why he should be on that list. Mm.
Well, I will tell you this, and you've talked a lot about it. You love the Stafford deal. You love... what Stafford, you thought Jared Goff was the difference of going to a Super Bowl, not going to a Super Bowl. So there's going to be obviously a lot of eyes on the Rams, a lot of eyes on Matthew Stafford, and it looks like Stafford finally, Trav, looks like Stafford finally turned the page. He's ready to be a Ram. I think there was a lot of interviews with Detroit saying goodbye, but I think he's finally there.
Did you see any of Les Snead's press conference today? Because the rules in these leagues are so stupid sometimes where you can't mention another player's name, and because this stuff isn't technically official yet, you can't. So, if we found a quarterback that could exit, it's like, come on, man. This is so dumb.
When is everything official?
It's like another 10 days or something mm-hmm. like that. But this would be like you and I trying to talk about the Lakers and not being able to use LeBron James's name. Well, if there was a guy that hypothetically that was like 6'8", 260 pounds, and was the most experienced guy the league has ever seen, the best player, the most athletic player.
Around 18 years,
right.
Along those lines.
Dumb. It's so dumb.
The thing you mentioned with Les Snead, so I did get a chance to hear the presser. I don't know if everybody did, but why – that is kind of one of those things where – and I'm listening to the clips prior to the show, and I'm kind of saying to myself, I'm like – half the time, it's so confusing because he's trying to dance around some of these answers. I don't know what you took out of it, but why don't they just wait 10 days? Why don't they just wait till everything's official?
Here's what I took away from that. The Rams are going to have to cut some guys.
Yeah.
the takeaway from that is the Rams are going to have to cut some guys because the salary cap came down a little bit. They're not going to have quite as much money as they would have liked. They've already passed out a whole bunch to a whole bunch of different guys. And, some guys are going to have to restructure. Some guys may get cut. And that's just life in the NFL. That you've heard, Kirk has said this to me a million times, that when that season ends, That's it. You know that not only are a handful of guys not going to be here, a bunch of guys aren't going to be here. In basketball, when the Lakers ended the season last year, you knew that LeBron and AD and Caruso and all these guys, the majority of Kuzma, they were coming back. In football, that's not how it works. Half the team's new every year.
By the way, you know how we're just saying that, why don't they just wait 10 more days? What do you make of this? Seattle Seahawks, they sent that letter to their season ticket holders.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about? That way?
I do.
Okay, what do you make of them not referencing Russell Wilson? And by the way, we're just saying, why don't you just wait? Why are they sending that out to their season? Why don't they just wait until this Russell Wilson situation eventually does get resolved, whether he stays with the Seahawks or he's somewhere else?
Yeah, so just for if people are listening may not know, the Seahawks sent a letter to their season ticket holders, basically, you know, touching base, asking for money, for lack of a better explanation. But say, hey, we're very excited about the team. DK Metcalf is coming back. Pete
What's
Carroll.
Your credit card number?
Right. But in the entirety of the letter, not one mention of Russell Wilson, who, if you polled, you know, 100 NFL fans and say, name a Seahawk, every last one of them is going to say Russell Wilson.
Oh.
And they didn't. So to your question about what I loved it, because I think that all professional sports leagues should interact with their best players like eighth graders and not invite each other to their birthday parties.
Sure.
Unfollow each other on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Not write about them on the group text. Exclude them from all these different things. I really like it. I think that all teams would be better served by passive-aggressive social media plays.
By the way, if you're a Rams fan, are you not watching this all unfold and saying, how great is this?
Oh, I mean,
how great is this? If Russell Wilson does not end up with the Seahawks and – maybe he's traded to the AFC. Maybe he leaves and he's with him. Just get out of the division. How big is this going to be if that eventually happens for the Rams?
If I'm Sean McVay, I'm crank calling Russell Wilson at night saying, did you hear what they said about you? Did you
why would they
letter?
Say that?
Why did you not get invited to the pool party? Everybody else is going. Did you not get the invitation? I thought that for sure. Oh, my God. Oh, God, I didn't know you weren't invited. Hey, are you mad? Are you going to tell him you're mad? I mean, that's what I'd be doing.
How stupid. Honestly, how
stupid
from Seattle. And this is an organization that, you know, the Rams and the Seahawks, every time they play, those two games are fantastic. You're looking forward when the schedule comes out. It's a great, great matchup year in and year out. To kind of see the Seahawks, this looks sloppy from an organization that doesn't come off as sloppy, if that makes sense.
No, well, I will. Here's a good rule of thumb, Slee. I will never understand. This goes for the Texans right now. It goes for the Seahawks right now. It goes for the Dallas Cowboys up until about a day or two ago. Why are you picking a fight with your best player?
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for you? I'm not saying you can't trade him. I'm not saying that if the Houston Texans decided in all of their idiocy that, you know what, we're better off not having Deshaun Watson here, or we're better off not having Russell Wilson here. I'm not saying you can't make a trade. But don't make it public, and don't get into a some sort of stupid fight with the guy publicly, because you're going to look terrible.
It's not going to help. It's not going to help you in that process of trying to get value and everything else for him.
No, it's ridiculous. All right, so ESPN is getting its hand on a sport that it hasn't had in a very long time. We're going to tell you what it is next, and we're going to tell you some of the other things that maybe we'd like to see come to the network. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, but then Slee would press it down and all the jelly and the peanut butter
peanut
would come
butter,
running out
jelly,
of the side of
and
your
lettuce.
Okay.
PBJ. You know,
it sounds gross.
That's
and
awesome,
it probably
bro.
Is, but lettuce is just kind of a delivery device for other wonderful
you
things.
You ever use honey?
On peanut butter?
Yeah, peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Oh, how great is that?
We're throwing a little sliced banana on there,
I was
too,
just
right?
going to say, banana as well?
Yeah,
glass
yeah.
of milk? Come yeah. on, that's all you need right
that's
there.
That's not bad. It's diabetes on a piece of bread, but it's pretty damn good.
It's worth it.
It's very, very good. All right, so you sent out the tweet earlier today, Slee, asking your questions about the different things we're going to talk about on the show today. And so John of Fullerton has an answer. Number one, win 10 championships and not be in L.A. Number two, no, name five players you know on a college team. Not even Ken Jennings can. Number three, 2.5 games, or 2.5 sacks a game next season. And then he says, all right, now that we're done with that, tell me what color salsa you put on chicken tacos. I'll listen for your answer. Thanks. Mm. So you get a plate of okay, here, I'm going to set the scene. You ready?
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite things. You're at a party.
You know what I could tell when you get excited? Your hands. You start putting your hands together.
I do. I rub my hands together like this.
I feel like food's coming up when you start rubbing your hands together.
Yeah, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So you're at a party. You go. You have a beer. You have a drink. You're having a good time. Mm-hmm. And then you see the guy.
You're hammered in the corner.
Yep. No, not hammered yet. Okay. Not yet. We're not. This is the beginning of the party. You've just got there. You're having a
good
time.
But I got there. I pre-drank.
And oh,
so
you're one of those guys
coming in, and they're not even sure whether they want to invite me in or not.
Respect. I like that. So you're gonna like this. This will be even better. So you're sitting there, you're chit-chatting, and then you see somebody kind of come through the side of the house, and he's got his little table, and he's got all the little Tupperware set up, and then he puts the table up, and then you realize it's a flat-top grill. He's got the propane. He turns it on, and then the meat starts cooking. He's got a little chicken over here.
Already had two hot dogs?
Hold on. We got a little chicken over here. We got a little steak over here, a little carne asada. Maybe he's got some al pastor. Then he opens it up, and he's got the beans, and he's got the rice. Mm-hmm. And now he takes out the bottles, and he's got all the different types of salsa. So you go over there. You get your chicken tacos. Yeah. He gives you your tortilla. He puts the chicken in the middle of the tortilla, and you walk over to the bar. What kind of salsa is going on Slee's chicken taco? This is important for John of Fullerton and me.
So I'm not one to shy away from using both salsas. I definitely have used both salsas. I think I'm leaning more towards – I'm more of a green salsa guy. More towards the green salsa. It's kind of funny because, you know, back in the days when you go to a talk shop, you go get a burrito, whatever the case is, they'll give you the option. You want your red salsa, you want your green salsa.
Right.
There was a time where I was just red, and then the merge happened. The merge was I used part of the red, and then I was pouring some of the green in the red, so now we got a little bit of both, okay? Now I'm kind of leaning more towards just the green salsa.
Yeah, no, the green is the proper choice.
The verde is the, I think that's the one.
It especially on the chicken. That's a very good way to go there. And let me just tell you this. I know this isn't what you were going for, but this is important. You got a little bit closer to the ingredients of the burrito with that answer. You got a little bit closer to me being able to share my most intimate details of my burrito life with you by answering the chicken taco question correctly.
At this pace, the show will be canceled, and you'll send me a text of what's in your burrito, okay?
That's fine.
It's going to be 3 years from now.
The status of the show has nothing to do with me revealing my burrito contents. That's something that has to get earned and trust over a long time.
Well, I'm with you on the verde. I'm with you on the green salsa's got a – by the way, if it's a little spicy, it's got a little bit of a kick to it. I mean, that's kind of that's the perfect balance right there.
Well, that's what the jalapenos on the side are for. Yeah. The chopped jalapenos, and, you know, that's – we could get it. Okay, we're very quickly. You got to do this too. So I was at one of those parties, right? Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what you're talking about. We're there and we're chit-chatting, and I went over to the guy, got a couple of tacos, and I only took, I think, two. They were the small kind of like street tacos. He goes, you want some more?
Did he give you two, or you just said two?
No, he said, how many do you want? I said, I take two. I said, let me ask you, how long are you going to be here? And he says to me, he goes, I'm going to be here all night. And I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. Two,
you'll pace
two is
yourself.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Two is fine. I'll hit you in a few minutes. And it was on Halloween, right? And so get my tacos. And then my kids, hey, can we go trick-or-treating? So, yeah, fine, let's go. We go up and down a street or two. And, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes goes by or whatever. And you kind of wander back to the house that's hosting this party. He was gone. He had left. He had told me that he was going to be there all night. And in what universe is for another 45 minutes all night?
How disappointed were you mentally you paced yourself thinking, I'm going to have two now, I'm going to go take a quick little walk, take care of the kids, come back 45 minutes later, I'm going to have two more.
I wanted to call the police department and say, I have been ripped off. I was promised something that was not delivered to me. There is a man out there with a taco cart.
I wanted
that is
to
on
call
the, lam.
The police department.
Yeah. Well, in the vernacular of my friends LZ and Key, my people have called the police department for far less. we're not great. We make a whole bunch of mistakes when it comes to calling the police.
I
so
could,
me
I
calling
could see,
about
I
the
could
talk
see the cops. I could see you on the line with the dispatcher. And that person says, yes, is this emergency? Yes, a crime has been committed.
Yeah,
in front
I only
of
got
my
two tacos
eyes,
from the taco
a
guy.
Crime was committed in front of me, my wife, and my children. What is the crime? Somebody lied to me.
My wife's like, Travis, you need to let this go. It's fine. It's fine. There'll be another day. Just, and I'm like, no, this is unacceptable. That he all night, Susan. What does that mean to you? All night. Does
Susan,
that mean
don't you get involved
minutes?
In this, Susan? Yeah, don't you yeah, get
you,
involved?
This is important to me. I need to do this right now. All right.
You either have my back or you don't, Susan.
Yeah, we've been married 20 years. Why is now the time you're deciding to take the taco guy's side? This is ridiculous.
That's great.
All right. ESPN's getting the NHL back.
Yeah.
They're gonna get the league. They're gonna have a 7-year deal with the league, which is great news for the NHL. I understand it's not a good talk radio sport. I understand that it's Southern California, so we're not in Toronto or Montreal or something like that where you're breaking down the fourth line. But I will say this. When ESPN has something, what we're really, really good at as a company is promoting something and making it seem important that you know what's going on. That, you know, you go back from the last time we had it, they had that Sunday night game that felt like a really big deal. It felt like something that was a part of your weekly sports viewing program. And I'm excited that it's coming back because it's one of those, I don't want to say it's a niche sport because it's a billion-dollar industry, but it's not one of the big three, and I love it. And the more times you see those things that you like that are a little bit smaller on the big stage, it's fantastic.
So I'm not a fan, not an NHL guy, don't know nothing about hockey. Here's the reality. There are a lot of big markets that care about hockey. All right, Boston and New York and Philly and Chicago. I mean, there's Detroit. There's good markets that care about hockey. You mentioned, obviously, all of Canada. It's the most important sport. So with all that being said, you know, I wouldn't be shocked or surprised. I mean, I might not care. But like you said, if there's a Sunday night and, you know, you're flipping around and you're kind of checking some of the games and maybe it's one of these stars that really that's what the NHL needs. Same thing as Major League Baseball. That's how the NBA runs. That's how the NFL runs. You got your stars. So if they can do a good job promoting it, I'll tell you what, you probably got a much better chance of watching it on ESPN than you do on, who had it, NBC?
NBC on the weekends and then NBC Sportsnet, which is on, you know, cable channel 486.
Love that channel.
They're not easy to find, you know.
A go-to channel.
ESPN is easy to find no matter where. So what's your niche sport? Which are the ones that you really enjoy that are like Sliwa sports that, you know, for instance, you and I could go to the same party where the taco guy just abandoned us and we could have a conversation with almost anybody there about the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Rams, the Clippers, the Angels, any of those things that people are going to be. But it's when you find, hey, are you into that too? Like the whether it's the hockey or something else, what's the Sliwa niche?
Okay, I'll have random ones, and they're not all the time, not focusing all the time. The you know, some of these grand slams in tennis, I will watch. I mean, those I think are, and by the way, that doesn't matter, like men's, women's, it doesn't matter. That's one of the sports. I think tennis is one of those where I'll watch, and if I get hooked on a match, I'm in. Like that's, I don't even have to know all that much about the two. Of course, you want to see the cream of the crop, but I don't have to know these specific players to kind of get hooked into a tennis match. The other one too, which I don't think, you know, this is gonna be down your alley, but when World Cup comes. Trav, when World Cup comes, I literally will go out of my way. I'm watching all of these matches. I'm watching France versus, you know, England. It doesn't even matter who's playing. I'm watching a lot of those. Are you a World Cup guy at all?
I love
no?
the World Cup. I'm not a soccer guy per se, but I do love the World Cup because
you demolish Messi.
Any time you got a flag on a jersey, I'm interested. That makes it a lot of fun. And then you get to see the best player in the world who's 5'0" run around.
There we go.
World Cup champions. Yay! It's very exciting.
He's never won a World Cup, so he can't say
that. Not yet. Oh, that's right. Argentina doesn't win the World Cup. They never get – not since – did Maradona win it? I don't know. That's not my thing. You know what? You know what they need to do? You know what they needed to do for hockey is they need to do what – my new favorite niche sport is F1. And I know it's not a – it's a niche in the United States. The rest of the world, very, very popular. Have you watched Drive to Survive on Netflix?
No, I have not.
It's amazing.
Okay, so is this something you're, hey, get at, make it happen, watch it? Because if that's the case, I'll watch it.
Absolutely. Now, here's what you got to give it more. Don't watch one episode and make your decision.
You're
give
the guy that does the one episode.
Yeah.
You stopped watching Ozark.
No, I watched a season of Ozark, and then it's a lot. I like to watch TV being easy. Ozark is drug dealing and murders, and it's a lot.
It is a lot. There is definitely a lot in there. And I think, I don't know what it is, but I get hooked. I told you, I was Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire, now I'm doing Ozark.
I did
The Wire.
Wire. I did like The Wire. The Wire was good. But you got to do Drive to Survive. Next season is coming up on Netflix here in just a little bit. But they're basically half-hour episodes that kind of go race to race and get you – kind of introduce you to the drivers, and it's just the most incredible eye candy in the world. The cars are just amazing. They're super fast and crazy and cool to look at. They're in the most glamorous, exotic locations in the world. They're going from Melbourne to Monaco to Madrid to Mexico City to Montreal to Paris. They're just going all over the place, and the people that go from city to city are the people that I want to hang out with. It just seems like something that there's a lot of partying, there's a lot of food, there's a lot of alcohol, there's a little bit of racing, and everybody seems to really be enjoying themselves.
Are they one season in?
Two so far. This will be season three that's coming out. And so it kind of got me hooked on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning
on
Sundays.
No, you don't.
Because you know what? This is what soccer gets right to. Mm-hmm. F1 and soccer have something in common, and it's perfect. The races are an hour and a half. A soccer game's an hour and a half. And it's over and it's done, and you don't have to worry, is this going to go into extra innings or there are a bunch of timeouts? The thing that's just it
it's
starts
on the
at
clock.
Six,
yep,
it
and
ends
it's over.
At the latest 7:45. Let's keep it moving. I love it. That's a good one.
All right, I got to see that. I got to watch that then.
And I'm not even going to try to sell you on college baseball. That's another one that I absolutely love. But here's a little confession. It's not super great until it gets to the College World Series.
We still got to hit. We got to do this before the show ends as well. We got to watch or we got to talk about March Madness.
Let's do it next. Let's talk about that because the conference tournaments are going on right now. And, Slee, I dare you to name three college basketball players. I'm going to give you the whole break to prepare. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee
Zion,
with 7-10. Christian Leitner's wrong, too, as is Isaiah
Sam
Thomas.
Sam Perkins, James
Sam
Worthy.
Perkins,
and...
Also wrong. None of those are right. Keep trying. 7-10 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I forgot to mention one thing, Slee, about the F1 guys. Mm-hmm. That it kind of reminded me because I was reading some tweets about Messi here a minute ago. The F1 drivers will make Messi look like The Rock. They're not the biggest guys in the world.
It's like a jockey in like 4'9", 4'8".
They're
Messi's
pretty...
walking around with his chest out saying...
Yeah, Messi's eating soup off of the top of Lewis Hamilton's head. It's a little bit of a different sport. They're not the biggest guys in the world. They're trying to reduce weight in those cars. One quick tweet here before we get into the college basketball. It's from Dave in San Clemente. Hey, Dave, Disc as he's known. Trav, curious, have you ever made it through a show without mentioning a taco guy? I mean, no. I don't think, Slee, gotten through one of these without a taco guy mentioned?
Well, this was this last story that you told me, and I appreciate you telling a story like that because that one, it felt like it was close to your heart. It felt like this was one of those moments in your life that you're never going to forget. And the fact that you told the story on the air, this was a deep one. The taco guy that said that he'll be there all night, 45 minutes later, he was gone. You thought you were pacing yourself. You had two tacos to begin with. You come back, and he's gone.
Well, he's a liar is what he is. You know, I don't really harbor a lot of animosity for anybody in this world except for that guy. That guy did me dirty.
He's probably listening right now and kind of saying, well, it is what it is, Travis.
Good. I hope he feels bad about it. I hope that he –
You know what he's probably saying? You know what he's probably saying? You know, if you would have just hung around the entire time, you would have saw – that I'm starting to close up shop. You could have came in and got two more tacos before I left.
No, but okay. No, no.
No, no, don't know me.
No. Here's what you do. Hey, how many tacos? You know, how long are you going to be here? The answer at this point this is
critical.
This dude
said all night.
It's critical because he could say, I don't know, maybe about another hour or so, and I would have said, oh, okay, so why don't you hit me with four instead of two, and then I'll maybe hit you one more time before you sneak out the back door. You can't tell me you're going to be there all night because I was planning on going big when he came. When I came
back.
I'm
with the taco guy on this one. I think you weren't – you know, there's certain people who are passionate about the taco game, and you obviously very casual. You think everybody just works around your schedule.
I don't think that's the
ego on this guy.
My relationship with food has ever been described as casual. Here's what's casual.
Yeah.
My interest in the NCAA basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. You know that thing starts in like a week, right?
Well, I'm glad we had a second to go through this because right now I think – Luca Garza from Iowa, you know, senior forward, 24 points a game. Trav, I don't know anything about these guys. Nothing about these guys. What happened to college basketball? I used to get so excited for March Madness, and now, you know, you and I chatted about it this morning. We wanted to bring up March Madness. I had to go. I'm like, okay, wait, well, when does this start? When is Selection Sunday? Selection Sunday is this weekend. What happened to college?
I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but when I was most into it was in my mid to late 20s, mm-hmm. when you knew all the players. You knew the four or five guys at Duke. You knew the four or five guys at Kentucky and at Kansas and at UCLA and at Indiana and at Michigan State. And all the, you knew these guys and you knew the coaches, but you would know these guys and they'd lose in the tournament and they'd come back next year and they'd be a little bit better. And there were some storylines. And the reason we all hated Duke, it wasn't because just they were good every year. It's because we got a really good dose of getting to hate Bobby Hurley, mm-hmm. of getting to hate Gene Wojciechowski, of getting to really dislike these mm-hmm. guys, Leitner, because they were winning all the time and we were seeing them and you got to be familiar with them. Now, the second you realize who a guy like Ja Morant is, right? He's gone. He's into the NBA, and he's fantastic. But you don't get to know him. You don't get to see the development of it all. The product itself, Slee, not great. I'll be honest. I was flipping channels last night and saw Gonzaga and BYU playing for the WCC. Gonzaga's unbeaten. Okay, no one has run the table in college basketball since the 70s.
Wow.
They're unbeaten. I don't know a single one of their players. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of their guys are good enough to go to the NBA. And I watched a little bit of that last night, and I'm like, this doesn't look very good. This is the best team in college basketball? This is a team that hasn't lost a game all season?
So
it's just not there.
I'm not sure what happened with me, but you know, I went to San Diego State. So State has had some pretty good teams over the past 15 years or so.
Sure.
Okay. And I was at, actually, they had two games in Anaheim, two separate tournaments, right? They lost to Connecticut in one of them. I think Arizona in the other one. Connecticut was the Kemba Walker and Kawhi. It was a fantastic matchup. It was at it was in Anaheim, so you could just imagine how many San Diego State fans came out there. It was an incredible environment. I don't know what's happened, but I think part of this as well is you were just talking about NHL and them signing a 7-year deal with ESPN. The networks too in the tournament. It's on True TV. It's on. You know how they're split up? TBS.
Yeah, it's spread over like four different – TBS, TNT, True, and CBS.
I think it's a combination that I don't know the players, right, number one. They're all over these different networks. And I think there's also something about the regular season means nothing.
No.
Nothing. I mean, I'm not – basketball is my favorite sport. But I will take college football over college basketball – any day of the week. And I think maybe some of that also has to do with the fact that every game is incredibly important and that you can't just run the table in your conference tournament and then you punch a ticket into the dance.
And you know the guys that are coming back. You know what I mean? Like when all of a sudden a guy like Sam Darnold shows up at USC and it's like, oh, wow, we got something here. And he's coming back next year.
Sure.
Okay, how good are we going to be? Mm-hmm. And Keaton Slovis shows up. And, oh, okay, he looks pretty good. He's coming back next year. And you get to know these guys. Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. Even though he wasn't there for 4 years, you get to know these guys a little bit. Tua at Alabama.
Yeah.
These guys, you know them, and there's a little bit of a story, and you don't have to like them. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but I believe it to be true. You have to hate something in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, it helps. It helps with the storyline
really
a lot.
You really need to hate something in sports to make it fun. And I'm not talking like hate in the real way. I'm talking about you
dislike the Miami Heat because LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. But you know what we were all doing? We were watching every single game they were on TV.
I don't want to watch – I hate James Harden in the sports way because I don't think eating your way out of Houston is the right way to go about doing that. I don't think that deciding that that's the way to go about it is the right way to go about it. So I like watching them lose. I want to – and guess what? They don't lose very often, mm-hmm. which makes it more fun, which made the rooting against Duke all those years made it fun. Not because they didn't lose. Mm-hmm. So when they did lose, it felt good. There's only one team you can really like, right? You have your school and maybe a school locally that you root for. You got to have something else invested in. Otherwise, it's a scrimmage. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's no emotion attached to any of this stuff.
Well, listen, I think with all that even being said, it's a surprise. It's a shock that Selection Sunday is this weekend, that the tournament's going to start next week. But I think as, the coverage starts and we start, paying a little bit more attention and you get into the round of 32 and 16 and everything else, I'll start watching some of these games, but it is tough. I mean, during the regular season college basketball, I have not spent any time. And the school that I went to, which I'm, very proud of, San Diego State having a good basketball team, they're ranked top 20. I don't know much even about that team.
Don't sleep on your Aztec baseball team either, Slee. They're pretty good this year.
Are they balling right now?
Yeah, they just crept into the top 25 right now.
Okay.
Very quickly, we'll play a game. I haven't prepped for this. I know you haven't prepped for this. We're going to take turns very quickly here. So, we're going to take turns naming – I'm not even going to try to do it with players because we'd stop at zero, right? Name a college basketball coach. We'll go back and forth until we run out of it. Or, if you'd like, you can name a current player. Would you like to go first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We'll go with trying to think here. Well, Pitino's out of it, right?
Yeah,
he's been out about 14 years.
He was doing some stuff at Louisville that he probably really shouldn't do, but he's a pretty good coach. He'll be back. He might. You know what? He is in it. He's back at Iona, so you're right. He is in.
All right. He is?
Yes.
Okay.
Mick Cronin at UCLA. Your turn again.
All right, Krzyzewski.
Okay. Roy Williams.
Tom Izzo still doing work?
I think so.
Okay.
The Fab Five guy that played for a million years in the NBA in Miami. What's
Juwan
his name?
Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard's at Michigan. Yeah, yep. Him. I pick him.
Calipari. Is he still in it?
Yeah, that's it. The guy with the piece in Bill Self.
Gonzaga's coach, Mark.
Mark Few. I think we named them all.
Let me tell you something. That's pushing it. I mean, yeah. But these are all legendary coaches. I mean, it's not. I'm trying to think here. Jay Wright, you could throw into the list as well.
I will give you. You can't look at your computer. I'm not kidding. I will give you $20 if you can tell me the name of the USC basketball coach in the next 5 seconds.
Well, I remember he coached that. What's his name?
Andy Enright.
That's right, Andy Enright. Yeah. What was he at? What was he at?
Florida Gulf Coast.
That's what it was, Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, they had Lob City or Lob, something Lob. They would lob a lot.
Oh, man.
They would lob a lot, and now they lob a lot at us. And SC, by the way, in our own backyard.
They're ranked top 25.
They have a kid that's going to be a lottery pick. He might be the first pick overall.
I think I saw he's like 20. They're 23 or something. Yeah, 22, something along those lines.
Last name Mobley, I think is what it is. All right, so there's your college basketball.
Can you imagine this in Kentucky or Indiana or something?
You know what?
That's all they got.
Probably not in Kentucky or Indiana, but I think in most places it's probably true. Mm-hmm. It's just not what it was. It is absolutely not what it was. And you said you're going to watch the Final Four. Let me know who wins because I will probably have.
I'll text you.
I'm going to be driving the streets of South Orange County looking for that taco guy that stood me up. I'm trying to make that right. See if I can even the ledger right there. All right, we got a new idea, Slee. We're going to do the dump. Coming up next. That's next on Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hydrate, Chris. You got to make sure that that third show is as good as the first two. So you got to make sure that you get your fluids in.
You know,
right?
We're just going to come out. You know, we're focused. We're just here to execute the game plan. By the way, Morales going 8:45, doing his thing, and then turning it around in the morning. A lot of props to Morales on that.
Yeah, I see, Chris works harder than anybody else, so I don't like to give him too much credit, or I have to hear about it.
Actually, I'm taking away. Forget the credit. That's
it. He does all right. All right, before we get to the dump, Slee, I want to take a quick phone call here.
You want to explain real quick what the dump is? Or
no, I want them to figure it out for themselves. I just kind of like the name, and I like saying it a lot, and we'll let them figure it out as we get to it. Until then, it's time to go to La Habra.
Like 14-year-olds, okay?
And Steve. Steve, you're on Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, you guys, before I get to Doc Rivers, you know, the nickname Sweet Tea, you know, there's nothing sweet about you. Your name actually should be probably Salty, because sometimes
like
you're bitter.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I like to keep it savory. Go ahead. Sorry.
I know you like it, but about Doc Rivers. Look, to me, that was 100% his fault last year when the Clippers lost that lead. You know, it kind of reminds me like when the Houston Oilers had a 35-3 lead on the Buffalo Bills and a backup quarterback. That wasn't the player's fault. That was the coach's fault. Same thing with Atlanta losing to the Patriots. They had that big lead. That's not the first time Doc Rivers has lost
He's
a 3-1 lead.
The third time, yeah.
There's only been four done in the history of the NBA. Three are by Doc Rivers. And also, you can go to that. And also, you go to that Celtics. We're up 3-2 against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Game 7, Kobe goes, what, like 4-28? And Doc Rivers couldn't win that game. I think he's regular season Doc, definitely not playoff Doc.
I appreciate the call, Steve.
Yeah, it's a fair criticism, Doc. I'll be honest, my judgment of Doc is a little clouded because I like Doc. I like how he speaks his mind. Mm-hmm. I love how he was able to navigate, which was almost an impossible situation when the whole Donald Sterling thing came down, and he could not have handled that any better and kept his team together any better. But yeah, everything that Steve talks about, blowing those 3-1 leads, that's as much on the coach as it is the guys caving in the side of the backboard.
He's look, Doc is he's real. You can tell that the players have an incredible amount of respect for him, but he's choked away some incredible moments, and you know, more with the Clippers than I would say with Boston, because he got a championship with the Celtics. And we'll see. Look, Ty Lue's there. He's won a championship. Chauncey Billups is there. That's supposed to be a big piece of it. Can the Clippers finally get to a conference champ? By the way, it might be Lakers and Clippers. It could be them in the second round. So they could potentially face each other. It just might not be. Can you imagine you go another playoff run and both these teams don't? What if it's Jazz-Clippers in the second round, and Jazz beat the Clippers, and then what do you do with that team?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great,
what do you do if you're Kawhi?
Because Kawhi could bounce.
Yeah, what do you do if you're Kawhi? Do you say, okay, I tried this for 2 years, and
the only thing more foolish than trying to figure out LeBron James's end game and when he's going to play is trying to figure out what's going on in Kawhi's head. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I who knows what he thinks or what's important to him, because he doesn't really give us any insight to it. Ooh, this is exciting. You ready, Slee?
What do you got?
This is the first time this has happened during this show, that this will happen periodically. My mother is a listener, okay? And she likes to correct me when I get things wrong on the air. And she just texted me to correct an error that I've made. It's not Andy Enright. It's Andy Enfield, the coach at USC. So, sorry, Mom. Andy Enfield is the coach.
Bro, that's awesome.
USC.
That's awesome.
So, oh, by the way, if you get something wrong, she's going to text me that you got it wrong to make sure that you clean it up too. So be ready for that.
I almost want to, like, tuck my shirt in, and I want to straighten up my back and completely change my view on this show now. Can you explain the dump?
Oh, you're uncomfortable with that just kind of hanging out there, aren't you?
I feel like it needs an explanation.
Well, I mean, it's the dump of the show, right? It's where we dump all the things that we didn't get to into the final segment to kind of make sure that we get to everything that we want to, because, you know, we only got 2 hours here. We'd like to get to as many things as we can, and sometimes some things get passed by. For instance, today, on this day, March 10th, 1876, first telephone call the very first telephone call ever by Alexander Graham Bell was made. The first phone call ever. Mr. Watson, come here. I want you. That was what he said to Mr. Watson. If I were old A.G. Bell, I would have come up with something better to say than, hey, Watson, I want you.
1876, the first telephone call.
Uh-huh.
How crazy is that? By the way, do you ever see when they used to have, when they were just building the computers, right? And they have, like, the hard drives, and you see how how big they were, and they were all in these rooms. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I exactly do.
And now they're, each one of those are in our phones. Like, each one of those are just literally in our phones.
There's more computer capability in your phone than there was when we flew guys to the moon several times.
Do you know how stupid we're going to look just 20 years from now, Trav? 20 yeah. years from now. Whatever we have right now, we're like, oh, my God, look how amazing. 20 years from now.
First of all, I'm not giving this our species 20 more years, but generally speaking, go ahead.
We don't have 20 more years?
I don't have
don't
a good feeling
me,
on
man.
20 more months.
That.
I have no idea what's going on.
Don't scare me on that. All right, what else we got here?
Here's another one. Pete Rose made his spring training debut in 1963. Very quickly, the first thing you think about when you think about Pete Rose is?
Cheating.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah. Good answer. The hits would have been another answer, and my personal answer would have been the haircut by which all other bad haircuts are judged. That I have a system, Slee. I don't think I've told you this before.
Okay.
I'm really fascinated by other people's haircuts, and not yours or mine, because neither one of us are really blessed with such an option.
I have a perm for those who are on radio and don't get a chance to see me. A lot of work done on my hair.
So I grade all haircuts on a scale of 0 to 10,
okay.
0 being a Pete Rose, and 10 being a Pete Carroll. It's called the Rose Carroll scale.
Oh, geez.
And so there's four categories. It's volume, sheen, purposefulness, and style. Those are the four categories. So, and I will grade anybody's haircut that wants to send me a picture. So Pete Rose debuted in 1963. Happy birthday to John Hamm, of course, perhaps best known for his role as Don Draper on Mad Men. Were you a Mad Men guy?
I think I watched one season of it. I never went past one season.
So that's like Ozarks was me.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was all right. I guess I just didn't. I guarantee you if I went back to it now, I'd probably watch it more. Like, now I'm okay with a long series. I'm more into the fact that, okay, it's going to take 2 months to get through this thing, but that's okay. So I think I'd do better off with it now than I did a couple years ago.
So it's kind of one of the crown jewels of boutique TV, right? Like the really good, well-made, well-written, incredibly acted series. You know, it started with The Sopranos, arguably. You can go back a little bit for like The Shield and things like that. But of all those shows, The Crown and Handmaid's Tale and all of these great shows. Breaking Bad is another great show.
Oh, Breaking Bad was amazing.
Just a great show. But John Hamm as Don Draper in Mad Men is at the top of that list.
Yeah, he's
I could any episode in any season, you turn it on, and I'm instantly sucked in by it.
I think I got to go back to that. I think that I got to finish a couple things. You kind of got me excited about that Formula One. That sounds really interesting. I think that could be one that could jump into. I didn't know it was seasons. I thought it would be like a one-hour documentary or something along those lines.
It's three seasons. I think there's 10 episodes a season, and they're like 25 minutes an episode. You can go through it tomorrow afternoon as you're getting ready for our show.
Okay, so National Day Mario, the video game. Today's National Day for that.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit when I was in middle school when Mario came out. It's not really my jam. Like, if you want to talk Asteroids or Space Invaders,
guy. Real quick, Mario was amazing. And Mario Kart, that was amazing.
Mario Kart was more fun than Mario. Like, I liked Mario because I liked shooting the
Mario
turtles.
Kart was fantastic. Mario Kart was fantastic, and that was right in my college years, so there was a lot of, like, you know, 2 a.m. Yeah, now it's Mario Kart time. Whatever just happened, all that you could go out, you could drink, you do whatever you want. 2 a.m. was basically stationed for Mario Kart.
So that was PGA Tour golf for me. I got pretty good at that. You know, somewhere between 2 and 4 a.m. on any Friday or Saturday night. Just give it a – how about this one? Here's another one. A man by the name of Lou Adams was the inventor of the cassette tape. He died at 94 years old today.
Today. The cassette player.
Did you pop an old cassette in your tape deck
in memory?
Your car and drive around slowly and out of respect today?
Isn't it kind of funny? You look at cars now, some of them still all have cassette players. There's still a lot of cars out on the road that have cassette players. And every time I look at them, I'm like, what do you... Who's throwing one of these in?
So I guarantee you my kids have no idea what a cassette is. Mm-hmm. They barely know what a CD is. They think it's a DVD that is broken and only the audio comes out. They have no idea what it is. I mean, a record, if you watch a movie or a TV show mm-hmm. that is kind of set in a time, a record is going to show up. Like they see a record, oh yeah, that plays music. They have no idea what a cassette is.
I'm going, next time I go to a get together or a party, I'm bringing a cassette player and I'm going to bring a cassette with me and I am going to find, I'm trying to think, can you even go buy any of this stuff? I'm sure you can.
What about a single? Remember that? You're like, oh, no, I don't need the whole thing. Just give me the one song. You'd go around and around and around. That seemed like a bad – even at the time, I'm like, yeah, this doesn't seem like a great investment.
Yeah,
one song.
Doesn't seem like a good idea, period.
All right, so it's a national pack your lunch day, I should say. Are you a brown bag guy, Slee, or would you slip out the back and go eat somewhere?
I remember in school, right, when I was in, like, middle school, and I remember – you know, I'm Middle Eastern, obviously, so my mom would pack me, like, Middle Eastern food. I'm like, Mom, can you throw just a PB&J in there with some
put in that bag? Like, what are we talking?
Everything.
Give me an idea.
Everything.
Like, so grape, like, leaves and pita bread?
There would be,
about?
Like, these egg rolls that we would make, which is, you know, I know that sounds, oh, well, it's Asian. No, there's, everybody's got, I think everybody makes egg rolls. But it'd be stuffed meat in there with parsley, and they're delicious. They're good.
Sound good.
But when you're in sixth grade, that's not what you're trying to pull out of the...
Lunchable.
All right? When everybody's sitting in class saying, does this smell like a kebab in here? Like, Mom, can we do what some of the other people are doing? That was my experience with packing lunch. Like, from that point on, I'm like, I'll just buy something at school. Just buy something.
Yeah, they probably didn't have the Middle Eastern egg rolls on the school menu. You'd get the square piece of pizza, the little fruit punch with the tin, the little foil that you'd peel off the top. That's
yeah,
probably
does the cafeteria have any shawarma in here? anybody cut up some shawarma back there?
My mom said you guys might have it. She
let me know. Yeah, let me know. We're waiting for the hummus. You guys, hummus,
this problem. This probably won't come as a big surprise to you, but I would frequently get in trouble in school for eating my lunch in the back of the class when it wasn't lunch. Travis, get away, bro. No. Put it away. Yeah, but it's first
8:30.
Period.
It's 8:30,
first period.
Okay?
Did your mom and dad not give you breakfast? No, they did. I had a nice breakfast. I had some eggs and some toast. It was great. So why? I don't know. I got a bag full of food here. What am I not supposed to eat it? What am I supposed to do?
I'm not good with that, by the way, too. Like, the fridge is all... The food can't... I cannot have pizza that just sits in here all night, and I don't go in there, and I'm thinking about the entire time that it's sitting in there.
I'm assuming that this is what it must be like for somebody that has, like, an alcohol addiction or something like that. Like, I can't go to a bar because I'm surrounded by it, and this is a bad idea, and I don't feel right, and so I choose not to put myself in those mm-hmm. situations. That's me with a bag of lunch nearby. It's like I know that bag right there, that bag that's sitting right there, that's filled with sandwiches and chips and cookies and what am I not supposed to eat that right now?
You go to a restaurant, you bring home leftovers, right? And you just put it in the refrigerator. In my mind, I've already thought, okay, probably an hour is going to go by. That's going to be sitting on the couch with me. I'm going to be eating those leftovers. They're supposed to be for tomorrow.
Going to have you some other day explain to me the concept of leftovers. Like, I see people leaving restaurants with bags of food. I've never quite understood what that's all about. All right, that's gonna do it for me and Slee. We got another one tomorrow, Slee. It is three in a row.
Let's do it.
Drink your water, get ready. We'll see y'all tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.